ಯನ್ಮಾಂ ವಾದಸಿತ್ ಕೇಶವ ನಹಿ ತೇ ಭಗವನ್ ವ್ಯಕ್ತಿಂ ವಿದುರ್ದೇವನ ದಾನವ ಸರ್ವಮೇತಾದೃತಂ ಮನ್ಯೇ ಯನ್ಮಾಂ ವಾದಸಿ ಕೇಶವ ನಾಹಿ ಭಗವನ್ ನಾಹಿ ತೇ ಭಗವನ್ ವ್ಯಕ್ತಿಂ ವಿದುರ್ದೇವನ ದಾನವ.
ಪ್ರಭು
ಯನ್ಮಾಂ ವಾದಸಿ ಕೇಶವ ನಾಹಿ ತೇ ಭಗವನ್ ವ್ಯಕ್ತಿಂ ವಿದುರ್ದೇವನ ದಾನವ ಸರ್ವಂ ಓ ಏತತ್ ದಿಸ್ ರಿತಂ ಟ್ರೂತ್ ಮನ್ಯೇ ಐ ಎಕ್ಸೆಪ್ಟ್ ಯತ್ ವಿಚ್ ಮಾಂ ಅಂತು ಮೀ ವಾದಸಿ ಟೆಲ್ ಯು ಕೇಶವ ಓ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ನಾ ನೆವರ್ ಹಿ ಸರ್ಟನ್ಲಿ ತೇ ಯೋರ್ ಭಗವಾನ್ ಓ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಹೆಡ್ ವ್ಯಕ್ತಿಂ ರೆವಲೇಷನ್ ವಿದು ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ನೋ ದೇವಾ ದ ಡೆಮಿಗಾಡ್ಸ್ ನಾ ನೋರ್ ದಾನವಾ the demons. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Ace Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki. O Krishna, I totally accept as truth all that you have told me. Neither the demigods nor the demons, O Lord, can understand your personality. Purport. Arjuna herein confirms that persons of faithless and demoniac nature cannot understand Krishna. He is not even known by the demigods, so what to speak of the so-called scholars of this modern world? By the grace of the Supreme Lord, Arjuna has understood that the supreme truth is Krishna and that he is the perfect one. One should therefore follow the path of Arjuna. He received the authority of Bhagavad Gita. As described in the fourth chapter, the parampara system of disciplic succession for the understanding of Bhagavad Gita was lost, and therefore Krishna re-established that disciplic succession with Arjuna, because he considered Arjuna his intimate friend and a great devotee. Therefore, as stated in our introduction to Gita Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita should be understood in the parampara system. When the parampara system was lost, Arjuna was selected to rejuvenate it. The acceptance by Arjuna of all that Krishna says should be emulated. Then we can understand the essence of Bhagavad Gita, and then only can we understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the translation one more time. O Krishna, I totally accept as truth all that you have told me. Neither the demigods nor the demons, O Lord, can understand your personality. So, this is a reaction of Arjuna. Basically, the previous verse, it started from the verse 12 and 13, but before that was the Chaturshloki verses. So, yeah, basically in a succinct form, the essence of the Bhagavad Gita can be extracted in these four verses. The Srimad Bhagavatam also has Chaturshloki verses, and so does the Bhagavad Gita. It's somewhere in the middle. Now, the point here, which I liked a lot, was it's nice to see the purport here, how Krishna. Prabhupada describes how the parampara system was lost, and basically Arjuna was selected to rejuvenate it It's kind of a, when I think of the parampara system, you think these sages with beards giving it, I mean, guru giving it to disciple. And so in this way, it's nice to see how it's a little bit different here. An unlikely personality a little bit. Arjuna, some, you know, imagine some strong fighter as being the link, the furtheration of this disciplic succession. I like the sentence, when the parampara system was lost, Arjuna was selected to rejuvenate it. And why? Because Arjuna, he was considered by Krishna as Krishna's dear friend and great devotee. At the beginning of the ninth chapter, because he was understood to be non-envious, like a real friend, and also when Krishna showed his opulences, then we can see now in this reaction full faith shown by Arjuna, saying, "Oh Krishna, I totally accept as truth all that you've told me." It's quite a, you know, something we don't hear in our daily lives, because we might like somebody's lecture, but to say all that you've told me, you know, I accept as truth is quite a is quite a strong statement. So we can see here that this strong statement comes out of faith, and when I think of faith, then what comes to mind is the verse from the Nectar of Instruction, Utsahan Nishtaya Daryat. Let me just read it out for you. Utsahan Nishtaya Daryat Tatat Karma Pravartanat Sangatyaga Sato Vrite Sadbir Bhakti Prasidyati. So here we have the third verse of the Nectar of Instruction, and this verse is supporting the point made in this in text 10.14. It's supporting Krishna's, Arjuna's faith in Krishna, and faith being the right basis for very necessary for the foundation of our progress in Krishna consciousness. So I'd like to go a little bit into the this verse. It's interesting to note how enthusiasm is first mentioned, after which we have confidence or faith, and then patience. So, utsahanishya daryat. From the purport of this verse, several points could be taken out. So I'm going to analyze a little bit this third verse of the Nectar of Instruction, which mentions, it mentions the do's and don'ts in the Nectar of Instruction. We just had 6 points, which are the previous verse: Atihara Priyasascha Prajalpuni Magra Janasangascha Lauliamcha Sadvir Bhaktir Vinashyati. So these 6 things are not good for our progress, and the 6 things that we're mentioning here, they are good. So the first point, that enthusiasm, Prabhupada explains simply like, yes, for anything we need enthusiasm. Anything in this world, even material. In the material world, we also, if we want to become successful or achieve anything, we need enthusiasm, no matter what. So, similarly, this also counts for us. You know, if a student needs it, if a businessman needs enthusiasm, so do we need enthusiasm as a, at the beginning of, not only at the beginning, but during. We need to have utsahan. And so, of course, he explains it very practically, Prabhupada, making enthusiasm. Okay, enthusiasm means action. Enthusiasm means service. Now, the difference between a businessman and student is action and service for Krishna. So that that's the first point. Then we have confidence or faith, nishtha. We know similarly all our actions, our decisions and our life is a lot dependent on our faith in something. When we have faith in something, then we can act enthusiastically also. And so these points are very much linked. For faith or confidence, Prabhupada explains this with an analogy of a newly married girl who expects offspring from her husband, but she cannot expect to have the child immediately. It takes time. She has to surrender and be confident that the child will be developed gradually and be born. The whole process of having a child is like at least 9 months. So similarly, there's a lot of faith involved, a lot of energy, you know. Basically, if you do not have faith in the result, then why would you go into, you know, taking care, you know, that you and the other person in you is well nourished. You know, you cannot eat spicy things, and you cannot do whatever you want, etc., etc. And same time, there's you know, especially in the beginning, there's not much, you know, certainty. But it's based on faith, like many other things. So this example of the child is given by Prabhupada. That so very practical again. We'll come back to the point of confidence and faith, since this is the main theme of this morning's evening's class. So the other point that's mentioned is dharyat and patience. So here Prabhupada says, quote-unquote, one should not be impatient in Krishna consciousness. Indeed, this Krishna consciousness movement was started single-handedly. And in the beginning, there was no response. But because we continued, so it's interesting, I like, it's sweet. I selected this point because it's quite a sweet purpose. Prabhupada is saying, yes, single-handedly it started. And then he goes on saying, but because we continued to execute... So first he says single-handedly, and then he says we. It's kind of like contradicting, because, but he's nice, it's sweet. We continued to execute our devotional practices with patience. People gradually began to understand the importance of this movement. And now they're eagerly participating. So he basically is making an example of his own start preaching in the Western world, sitting under a tree. And it's definitely required faith and patience and enthusiasm to continue. So Prabhupada humbly says, we continued to execute. It's quite endearing. So then there's some more points. Basically, we have enthusiasm, confidence, patience, and giving up the association, janasanghas, of unwanted persons, following the regulative principles, and remaining in association of devotees, is how, at the end of the purport, Prabhupada summarizes the 6 points. I'd like to also point out how the association of devotees is mentioned in verse number 2 of the Nectar Instruction and verse number 3. As one of the things that you should not do is you should avoid the association of non-devotees. And then verse number 3, again, the association point is made. That, you know, in order to, you should associate with the devotees and not with the non-devotees. So, I want to, agree on this point very much, more, you know, that the emphasis made here, in the two consecutive verses, there's emphasis made, no other points are made so strongly. The point of, like, you know, over endeavoring is not emphasized in the next verse, or overeating, but association is definitely again emphasized. And Prabhupada explains in the purport how this Krishna consciousness movement, well, it is a it's created in order to welcome, host this type of activity or association of the devotees. And I want to say from my own experience, I think it's very powerful and should not be underestimated. I've done worse things that I would have done out of my own in bad association, and I've done better things than I would have done on my own, obviously, in good association. So many of these, the faith and the enthusiasm can be gotten from association of devotees. That's very nice also point. Now the point about following the footsteps of previous acharyas or associating is I again like to point out how Prabhupada very practical again. What does it mean, you know, to follow the footsteps of the previous acharyas? Can anyone give a suggestion? What does it mean to follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas? So, yeah. Yeah, so Prabhupada, he very practically says it means to rise early in the morning by 4 a.m. and attend Mangalarti and morning worship, then read Srimad Bhagavatam, perform kirtan, and so forth. So thus we hold continuous activities in devotional service 24 hours daily. This is called satovritti, or following the footsteps of previous acharyas, who expertly filled every moment of time with Krishna conscious activities. So yeah, I found it quite funny how he mentioned the time and very practical again. And Prabhupada is making the point. So to come back to our point of the verse where confidence was emphasized. Another further, let's say, light shed on this point could be that Prabhupada mentions something more on confidence, and that is that that, you know, one should have titadhir muni, you know, have one focused attention. So as a result of confidence, you become more confident. And if you follow other paths, then you become restless. And there's a nice
Prabhupada quotes in the purport of verse number 3 of Nectar Instruction, which is explaining these points of enthusiasm and faith and... what's the third point? Enthusiasm, faith, and patience. So he explains, one must be calmly convinced that those who have given up devotional service to engage in severe austerities for other purposes are not purified in their minds, despite their advanced austerities, because they have no information of the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So he quotes this. It's interesting how he says, one must be calmly convinced, and of the, you know, one must be have no faith in the activities, later he mentions, one must have no faith in the activities of a jnani or a karmi or a mayavadi and or a yogi. So it's quite an interesting point. It's again very practical. We can think, you know, sometimes we have faith in somebody making lots of money. Sometimes we have faith in, you know, these far-out yogic performances, and but really we should look at them like we look at, you know, children showing us magic tricks, or, you know, less odd. I know that Prabhupada reacted very coolly or calmly when some magician showed some tricks, or when the people went on the moon, or when some devotees, you know, made a maybe Madhu Gopal can add to it, but some basically what we would be in awe for. Many times Prabhupada, he would maybe for social reasons join the awe, but in many occasions he just blatantly shows his, you know, his no faith in those activities and so forth. Sometimes we have this, you know, I know for myself, I might be in awe at somebody that, you know, pulls out gold from behind his ears, or you know, some magicians, or some successful yogi, or some rich karmi, or but this actually we should be confident with you know, that those who have or not on this path and actually compassionate they are, you know, they are not practicing something worth in that sense. So basically the point of faith is there. And now in on the positive side, because now is the versus other processes, and you know how one should not have faith in other things and have faith. A reason why we should have faith. So maybe we should go over, I have one reason here, and this is quoted from the purport again of Prabhupada, not much originality for me on the verse 3. So any positive sides on why we should have faith? Why? Anyone want to? By devotees? Seeing advanced devotees? So that, so that's a great point Madhu is making, and it's very much connected to the last point we just made, that Madhu is very much in awe with the devotees, not so much with these big billionaires, but when he sees somebody with the beautiful qualities of a devotee, it captures, you know, and so a very nice point. The devotees attract such faith. Anyone else? Or yeah. The hopelessness in the other side, right? You know, Krishna consciousness is difficult, but the other option is impossible. This is Prabhupada said. He, at the same time, he said, nah, nothing, you know, fool's dictionary, impossible, but this is impossible. Maybe one. So, he, just to say that he doesn't use it so easily. So, yeah, Prabhupada points out verse 240, neha bikrama naso sti pratyavayo navidyate svapam apiyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. In this endeavor, there's no loss or diminution, and a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. So, it was a very, you know, it's on the other end, you know, of faith. Why? Because there's no loss or diminution. There's no harm. There's no, if you don't make it to that point, that's, you know, like a yogi might have, you know, if he almost can stand on water, well, you know, it doesn't work, you know. You got to be able to stand on water or not, because if you almost do it, you know, it's a little bit of a... So here, the beauty is that there's no loss of diminution, and a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. Does anyone remember what the most dangerous type of fear refers to, typically? I mean, there's more, but... yes. To go, he's a cheating. I was studying this. No. So, yeah, to attain animal bodies, that is the most dangerous type of fear. To go back in the cycle of birth and death, go to the, you know, beginning again, go all over, spend time going through the different bodies again. Greatest danger to lose your human form of life, to use your possibility to have religion or have, you know, any this type of concept, any freedom, freedom of thought, desires, you know, you won't be doing any bad karma as these animals, but you're gonna have to go through a lot of suffering and very short moments of enjoyment. And Prabhupada points out how, you know, when you take a worm out of a stool, he'll just go back into it. Or if you want to put a pig in a very, you know, chic apartment, he still preferred his cozy, warm human dung. So, like this, yeah, just to make it a little vivid in case you think it's not so bad. type of so that's one of the achievements one has with this faith. Now I'll read the last paragraph, which is very nice also. So in as a purport to this little verse, let's say, as explanation, that in this endeavor there's no loss of diminution, and a little advancement of the path can protect one from the most dangerous kind of fear. So devotional service is so pure and perfect that once having begun, one is forcibly dragged to ultimate success. Ah, isn't that great? I feel, I also felt great. So then he says, sometimes a person will give up his ordinary material engagements and out of sentiment take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus begin the preliminary execution of devotional service. Even if such an immature devotee falls down, so that's in, yeah, you know, starting with sentiment, and then if he happens to fall down, then there's no loss on his part. On the other hand, what is the gain of one who executes, so on the other hand, what is the gain of one who executes his prescribed duties according to varna and ashram, veripaka, you know, but does not take to devotional service, still always paka for himself. So, although a fallen devotee may take his next birth in a low family, his devotional service will nonetheless resume from where it left off. You know, from an Indian perspective, I'm sure there's many of us in low families. I mean, Indian. Just general, let's say. So devotional service is a haituki apratihata. It's not the effect of any mundane cause, nor can it be terminated by any mundane cause or permanently curtailed by any material interruption. So, as we hear here, it cannot be terminated by any mundane cause. So there's no fear. It cannot be terminated by any mundane cause. Therefore, a devotee should be confident about his engagement and should not be very interested in the activities of karmis, gyanis, and yogis. So, any comments and questions?
Well, there you had it. It's okay, you're dragged. Yeah, so there we have today at 4 o'clock. We had a little earlier example of a devotee being dragged by devotional service, by the association. And so it will continue all the way. Isn't it beautiful? Any other comments? So how does your faith and confidence feel? Oh, I was dragged. I was dragged into this class, and dragged to many things. Just before coming here, I was, I was thinking of playing a video game, and and I never managed to. Time didn't give me a chance. Always something happened in between, and now I'm happy about it. So somewhat of a drag. Okay, any other comments? Let's not leave it on that note though. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. That's a very nice point. To be pulled
rather than pushed, and higher taste, it works on higher taste. Everything works on higher taste. I once asked Hanuma Prasak Swami in this temple room, I was here, and I was wondering, now, he gave class about, you know, similar point of higher taste, and it was interesting concept, like, the question was whether should I go and cut vegetables in the kitchen, because, you know, I like cutting vegetables with this Mataji there, or should I not cut vegetables there? So it was just a was a quite a interesting question I asked him. I mean, yes, and so he said, like, he quoted Bhaktivinoda Thakur, only a fool does not use propensities of, you know, fame, this and that, in order to serve Krishna. So we have these propensities, and only a fool does not utilize them to serve Krishna. However, then he made the point that there's a very fine line in between using it as something to serve Krishna and going over the edge. So until this stage it is useful and foolish to not utilize it. Once we it does not become anymore, you know, you're not anymore doing this vegetable cutting there for, you know, it doesn't serve your devotional service. Instead, it's you're serving another purpose. That purpose change is the fine line, and you know, disqualifies this completely. So it is the means, not the goal. It can serve as a means, but you cannot work to achieving it, and it's poisonous when you're achieving it. So it makes sense if we're on a razor's edge. So in that sense, it's it can help you motivate it, but you cannot have it make that your goal instead of devotional service your goal. As long as devotional service is your goal, and that's why utilizing these propensities, then it's fine until you switch the devotional service goal to the goal of your propensities, and then it's poisonous. So, on that note. Thank you. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki. Jai. Prabhupada ki.